Buongiorno, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer. I am your host, and I am recording this on April 5th at 7:01 a.m. Let's talk about some words. The first word is the second form of exchange. Verb from the 15th century, starting with transitive. 1a, to part with, give, or transfer in consideration of something received as an equivalent. So this is the act of exchanging. You are saying, I will take this and I will give you this, and we are doing a good trade. We're exchanging. That's the word. 1b, to have replaced by other merchandise, as in exchanged the shirt for one in a larger size. We've all done this. We're like, this thing's okay that I bought, but that I got as a gift, but I think I want to exchange it for something else. It's okay. Or this sucks. I want something that I like. I'm going to exchange it. Did you give me a gift receipt? Oh, you did? Great. There goes your gift. Here comes my gift. Let's exchange them. 2, to part with for a substitute, as in exchanging future security for immediate pleasure. Ooh, okay. So we want to either have pleasure right now or have security later. I'm not sure what example would those two be in context together with. I don't know if that was English. Future security for immediate pleasure. I don't need the security in the future because it's the future and I can't see, and I just need to be here in the now. And right now, I want some pleasure. So screw the future security. I'll deal with that. That's a problem for future Spencer. Right now, I want some pleasure. And what gives me pleasure is going on to the next definition. Number 3. To give and receive reciprocally. Reciprocally. As in, exchange gifts. This is just when it's maybe not a birthday, because typically the gifts are only being given to one person, but maybe for an anniversary or another holiday, a Christmas, a Hanukkah, something like that. You're like, I'm going to give you a gift and you're going to give me a gift and we're exchanging gifts and it's great. Intransitive is number 1, to pass or become received in exchange. So you are the thing that is being exchanged. To pass in exchange or become received in exchange. The gift is exchanged. The gift is being exchanged. I think I would like to exchange my brain for a new brain. Number 2, to engage in an exchange. We are engaging in an exchange when we are exchanging gifts for a holiday. We are doing an exchange. Exchangeability is a noun. Exchangeable is an adjective. Oh, my gift better be exchangeable because there's no guarantee that I'm going to like it. Exchanger, that is a noun. Okay, let's make a sound effect. Next is exchange rate. 2 words, noun from 1855. The ratio at which the principal unit of 2 currencies may be traded. So I guess if it's a ratio of like 2 to 1, then the one currency is worth twice as much as the other one. So this is not the correct math, but let's say the dollar and the euro. Let's say the dollar, $2 is worth 1 euro. That means that it's a 2-to-1 ratio. I'm not sure which way that goes. I guess it's two of this one thing to one of this thing. Yeah, that's obviously, that makes sense. And so the euro would be twice valued at twice as much as the dollar. It's worth twice as much as the dollar. And so that's why you need $2 to match 1 euro. And again, those are not the correct numbers. I believe that the dollar and the euro are actually much closer to a 1-to-1 ratio. It could be like 1.1 to 1 or something like that. But it's a ratio. Bwoop. Next is exchange student. Two words. Noun from circa 1930. So I wonder, who were the first exchange students? Where were they exchanging? Were they exchanging domestically? Were they exchanging internationally? This is a student from one country received into an institution in another country in exchange for one sent to an institution in the home country of the first. Maybe a little bit complicated, but it makes sense. One student from this area swaps places with another student over here, maybe at the same time, maybe not at the same time. I believe also sometimes they'll be called exchange students, but you're not necessarily, like if somebody comes from one country over to another country to go to school and hang out with some students in there, in like in America, say, that doesn't necessarily mean that one of the students from that American school is going to go to that other country. Sometimes they just go and they hang out for a year and they do the school thing. We must have had some exchange students when I was in school. I don't specifically remember. I guess they weren't part of my little group of friends. I just can't remember. But I know my wife, Sharon, she said that they had a girl from Sweden come when she was in high school. But see, that's the thing. I don't know if anybody exchanged. I don't know if anybody went to Sweden to be exchanged. That's exchange student. What was the Fez in that 70s show? I think that his name wasn't actually Fez. Fez stands for foreign exchange student. That was a funny little joke that they put in there. Broop. Next is exchangeite. Exchangeite. So it's the word exchange, but after the G, it's an I-T-E, and the E at the beginning is capitalized. This is a noun from circa 1934, a member of a major national service club. And what might that national service club be? It's from, I guess, the National Exchange Club. I don't know what this is, but a member of this club or another club like it would be an exchangeite, and I have no idea what this club does. What does this club do? Poof, poof, poof. You exchange stuff. Poof. Next is a word that has a lot of definitions. It's exchequer or exchequer. E-X-C-H-E-Q-U-E-R. Exchequer. Noun from the 14th century, number one, is capitalized. A department or office of state in medieval England charged with the collection and management of the royal revenue and judicial determination of all revenue causes. And what I'm going to do, actually, is I'm going to take this piece of paper that I have in the book, and I'm going to put it, I should have been doing this for every episode, I'm going to put it behind this page, because these pages are so thin that you can see through them. Now, I can still see a little bit of the text on the other side of the page, but maybe this will help make things a little bit better, a little more readable. Okay. Department or Office of State in medieval England charged with the collection and management of the royal revenue and judicial determination of all revenue causes. Now, that makes me think of, like, taxes. It doesn't literally say taxes, but it seems like they're going out, they're collecting the money that is going to go to the royal family because, for some reason, they need all the money, and they have put themselves in this place, and everybody loves them, and I don't get why. What makes them royal? Makes no sense. Number two is also capitalized. A former superior court having jurisdiction in England and Wales primarily over revenue matters and now merged with King's Bench. I got nothing. I don't know any of this British stuff. I'm sorry, I don't know. Number three is often capitalized, and we got a couple of sub-definitions. 3A, the Department or Office of State in Great Britain and Northern Ireland, charged with the receipt and care of the national revenue. So that's what it's really all about. It's all about the finances of the country, of the area. The exchequer is dealing with the checks, maybe. 3B is the national banking account of this realm. 4, here we go, the synonym is treasury, especially a national or royal treasury. The royal people, they gotta handle their finances and their jewels and their other things that are worth stuff. So yeah, it's the thing that's dealing with the money, the group, the organization, the office. Number 5. What is this word? It goes over to two lines. Pecuniary? Pecuniary resources. Let's look up that word. I'm sure all the British people know this word because they have much better vocabularies than we do. So the synonym, by the way, is the word funds. It's just the monies and things. So yes, pecuniary means concerning or involving money. I've never heard of this word. A synonym is monetary. Interesting. It doesn't give me, oh, here. Pecuniary. Yeah, I think that's what I said. Perfect. Perfection. This word is from, it's an Anglo-French word, and it means chessboard, or also counting table, or just also exchequer. How do they pronounce it in French? Exchequer? Exchequer. There's more at the word checker. Okay, so this is what's going on. So you can play checkers on a chessboard. I don't know what checkers or chessboards have to do with money, but it says counting table. So maybe they would use the chessboards to do their counting, balance the checkbook, do whatever they got to do. Well, our chess game is done, so now let's count the money. Maybe they would use the black and white spaces to put little stacks of coins. $1 here, $1 here, I don't know. Interesting. And of course, I see a connection to the word check. We write checks when we're doing the money, exchanging a check for goods and services. So I'm sure that there's a connection there. Sometimes you'll see the word check spelled C-H-E-Q-U-E. The whole chessboard thing is interesting. I'm sure there's a lot more. Let's put a link in the show notes from Etym Online for Exchequer. See what other fun information it's got. Next is excimer laser. Two words. Excimer is E-X-C-I-M-E-R. Never heard of this. It is a noun from 1973. It is a laser that uses a noble gas halide to generate radiation, usually in the ultraviolet region of the spectrum. So I believe that the red side of the visible light is longer wavelengths, because if you go, all right, so let's just do a little education, a little class here. So you got the visible light spectrum. Let's say my index finger here is the red side, and my hand over here is the ultraviolet side, or sorry, the violet side. So that's what we see, humans can see in this range. Now, if you go past my finger here on my left side, that gets you into the infrared, longer wavelengths. We can't see it, but it exists. We have like cameras and lenses and things that can shoot in infrared. see out things out in space, telescopes that can see in the infrared. I think the James Webb telescope sees in the infrared. And I think there's other wavelengths over there. Is it whatever's longer wavelengths than infrared? There's gamma rays and x-rays, and I don't remember which side they're on. But here, on my right side, this is the violet side. If you go past, then you got ultraviolet. I think these are really fast, quick waves, small waves. Those are coming from the sun, and then there's more waves beyond there. Okay, so back to the excimer laser, a laser that uses a noble gas halide to generate radiation usually in the ultraviolet region of the spectrum. I don't know. I can't give you any more information than that. It's a laser, and it makes radiation in the ultraviolet. Okay. The word is from excited and dimer or dimmer. How do you pronounce this word? I don't specifically remember reading it, but I know I did because I have read all of the words in this book so far. Let's see. Dimer. Yeah, dimer. A compound formed by the union of two radicals and two molecules of a simpler compound, specifically a polymer formed from two molecules of a monomer. Okay, and so what this, I guess, the name came from those things being excited. So it's an excimer. That's it. Next is excipient. Is that an I or a long? I think it's just excipient. Yeah, that makes more sense. It looked like a long I, the long thing over the I. It's excipient. Noun from circa 1753, a usually inert substance as gum arabic or starch that forms a vehicle as for a drug. The vehicle, it's not like a car or a truck or a motorcycle or a boat or a scooter or rollerblades. No, this is a thing that you put the drug into, like a pill, so you can get the drug into the body. So this is a usually inert substance. It means it's not going to do anything. It's just like it's not going to harm you. It's not going to add any symptoms or side effects or anything like that. It's just like, bleh. It does nothing. It's just a vehicle. So I guess this vehicle would be a gum arabic. I don't know what arabic is in this context. Or a starch. And then you can put the drug in the thing. And then maybe you can consume this gum arabic or starch or whatever. And so that gum arabic or starch would be called the excipient. Why is it called excipient? Let's look at the etymology. Let us do that. That is from the Latin verb excipere, which means to take out or take up. And there's more at the word accept, E-X-C-E-P-T. So to take out, take up, I guess it's taking up the drug. And then it is sending it along to the thing. Excipient. I've heard this word before, but I don't think I ever really knew what it was. Maybe I will pay more attention the next time I hear this word. And then I will know that it is just a thing that is inert, that is used as a vehicle for other things. Next is excisable. Excisable. I kind of want to emphasize the sizable. Excisable? Excisable. Yeah. Okay. This is an adjective from 1689, and it is subject to excise. E-X-C-I-S-E, which is, in fact, our next word. So anything that can be excised is excisable. And what is excise? Brrrr. Here we go with excise or excise. Excise. Well, it does end in an S, an S-E, so some people want to say excise. This is the first form, noun from the 15th century. Number one, an internal tax levied on the manufacture, sale, or consumption of a commodity. It's a tax. That's what it is. On any of these things, like we need an excise tax here because it's a it's on the manufacture, sale, or consumption of a thing. When you create it, when you sell it, when you consume it, we gotta tax it. We gotta tax you every step of the way. Number two, any of various taxes on privileges, often assessed in the form of a license or fee. So I wonder, like, when you buy like a hunting license or a fishing license or something like that, is there an excise tax on that? Seems like, based on this definition, there would be, but maybe it's not on all licenses or fees, maybe just some of them. I don't know. That was just the first thing I could think of. We've been watching that show, Northern Exposure, where I think we're about halfway into the third season, and there's a lot of hunting talk in that show because it's in Alaska, and it's from the early 90s, and yeah, there's a lot of hunting in Alaska, even now. This word, it's from the obsolete Dutch word, excis, I don't know how to pronounce it, from Middle Dutch, probably modified of Old French, assis, which means session or assessment. And there's more at the word assize, A-S-S-I-Z-E, whatever that is. But I do see the connection and the spellings and all that. Because the old French word is A-S-S-I-S-E, and then the English word is A-S-S-I-Z-E, and we are talking about the word E-X-C-I-S-E. Okay. Yep. The second form of excise, or excise, is a verb from 1652, looks to be just transitive, and it means to impose an excise on. We are excising this thing that is excisable with an excise. The third form is pronounced excise. This is also a transitive verb from 1634. I wonder why it's separate from the other one. This is to remove by or as if by, excision. Ooh, we're going to get that into that. So this is a whole different context of how this word is used. Let's see. This one, we have some etymology here. It is from the Latin verb excidere, which is from the ex prefix plus cidere, which means to cut. Okay, let's get into this stuff. Let's see. Well, I guess excision is the only one that we're going to see, but we got a word before that. So I got to go. Next is excisemen, or exciseman, or exciseman, or exciseman. This is a noun from 1647. An officer who inspects and rates articles liable to excise under British law. So these are the things that would be getting that they'd be excisable. They would get that excise tax. An officer who inspects and rates articles. So I guess he's like, oh, well, this thing over here, this gets a 1% tax, and this thing over here gets a 20% tax, and I don't know why I'm talking like this because I'm not British, because this word is under British law. But yeah, they're doing something with the taxes, and they're saying this is a tax and this is not a tax, and I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Next is excision or excision. It's excision. I was correct. Excision. Noun from 1541. The act or procedure of removing by or as if by cutting out. That's the important part. Especially surgical removal or resection. I'm not familiar with the word resection, but I am familiar with excision. Because, yeah, you're just cutting. Like, if I had a wart on my finger, then they would excise it. Hope I don't ever get any warts. I've had a couple of little things that I'm like, is this going to become a big old wart? No, I haven't had any yet. Do I have anything? Sometimes you just get little growths. You know, they called skin tags and whatever. They happen. I think they're pretty easy to remove. Just get some... No, don't do that. Don't get some scissors and cut it off. No, you should do this by a professional. A professional should be the one doing excision. Excisional, that is an adjective. And we already talked about the etymology just a couple of words ago with the word excise. Because it's all about cutting. All right, should we talk about the last word? Let's do that. Excitable. Adjective from 1609, number one, capable of being readily roused into action or a state of excitement or irritability. Ooh, you're so excitable when I say hello. You're like, what's, I don't know, why are you saying hello to me? The day is poopy. That's what people say when they get excitable or able to be excited. Number two, capable of being activated by and reacting to stimuli, as in excitable cells. Ooh, what sort of cells are these? They are capable of being activated by and reacting to stimuli. So maybe when your brain thinks something and it sends the electrical signals through the body and then they go to some cells and it makes them go, make them move or make sounds or something. Like right now, the way that I'm talking is because my brain is telling my lungs to push air out of my trachea, my throat, in through my mouth, and it's telling my mouth to go blah, 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 and my tongue to move around, and my cheeks and my lips to make all these. There's so many muscles and things that are involved in this process. And so I don't know if this is exactly what this is, the cells that are excitable, but maybe that makes sense. I don't know. There's cells in all those areas, those muscles and stuff. Any other things? Excitability is a noun. Excitableness is a noun. And I think we're all on some level of excitableness. Some of us, when we are told something, put into a situation, we're just like, oh, cool, yeah, we're not very excitable. But some other people are like, oh my God, that's amazing. And those people are very excitable. I'm not terribly, I'm a little on the lower scale, but sometimes when I'm here, I like to force myself to get a little bit more excitable for the show to make it a little bit more fun. Clearly. All right, that was the end of the words. Let's pick a word of the episode. We had exchange, exchange rate, exchange student, exchangeite, exchequer, excimer laser, excipient, excisable, excise, 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 exciseman, excision, and excitable. Okay, well, we're going to get some more exciting words in the next episode. Let's see. It would have been good for me to be an exchange student. I never did that. I had some friends who went to Germany, I think, for a semester or something like that. Maybe it was the summer. I can't remember. Let's see. I mean, the lasers are always cool. The excimer laser was in this episode. I don't know. Nothing really jumping out. I'm not a, you know, taxes are taxes, and they're going to tax. Excision? What are we going to pick? I don't know. Taxes... Yeah, I mean, the exchequer, I don't know, can't, no. I don't know, maybe just excimer laser is going to be the word of the episode. Excimer laser, shooting lasers out of my eyes, because my eyes are excimer lasers. Ah. I don't know. Whatever. That's fine. I believe I have I've finished my movie list. I didn't watch a movie last night, so I can't tell you about another movie. I mean, I can tell you more about Northern Exposure if you've never seen it. It is available on Prime. Back when it was released on VHS and DVD, or at some point, they weren't able to get the rights to most or all of the music. And so at that time, those home video things had different music than what people saw on TV when it aired. And a lot of people were very angry about that. I said, the music is so important to the show, you can't, don't watch it. No, it's not good. But they have since gotten the rights to most of the music. I don't know what percentage, but I have heard it's the majority. They have gotten the rights to the majority of the music, and this show is now on Amazon Prime. If you got the Amazon Prime, or you can probably just pay for the show. And so that's how we're watching it. We're binging through it, and it's good. I watched it when I was a kid, so I would have been ages like 10 through 15 when this show aired. And we were watching it every week, my family, the four of us. And I definitely have a different appreciation of it now, being a 43-year-old person. My parents were basically my exact age now when we were watching it. So like my dad would have been 40 to 45 when this show aired, and my mom's just a couple of years younger. So I want to ask them about it. Like, what was your experience of this show? What do you remember? I remember very little from when I watched it 35 years ago. It was about 30 to 35 years ago. Wow. And so I remember a little bit. I remember it being kind of quirky and weird and sort of mystical at times and funny. But like, I didn't appreciate the characters fully, or at least some of the characters, and I didn't remember a lot of it. So yeah, it's a very interesting show. Definitely a lot of things haven't aged great, but you know, there's still some really good stuff. There's some really fascinating sort of like metaphysical and science talk and like big conversations and monologues about things that are, these people are very knowledgeable about a lot of things. And it's really, that part feels timely, feels like timeless. You know, obviously any science they talk about, as we've probably learned more, but like they get into some pretty advanced discussions about things that I had, of course, no clue what they were talking about back then. But now I'm like, ooh, this is fascinating. So yeah, it's a really interesting show in a lot of ways. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show on the podcast and the YouTube. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.